I had my sermon all prepared for today. I knew what I was going to preach until Friday night. And Friday night, the Lord just spoke something totally different. And I want to ask this question before we get into the word. Is there anybody here going through anything? I was afraid of that. I thought if you were not, I could just go back to the other message. But this week, just a few things I've heard this week. My father passed away 2 weeks ago. I heard from Pastor Steve. I heard you say you were gone for 2 weeks, came back, and a dear friend was gone. I had a friend married 49 years, went on a business trip this last week, and when he said goodbye to his wife, he didn't know that'd be the last time he saw her. He's in heaven this morning. Some of the emails I received this week, just two or three of these emails I received this week, my son just got his driver's license, and he was driving home from work at his little job, and a drunk driver veered over into his lane, had a head-on collision, and he's dead. He was in church last Sunday, but he's dead now. And that's just one of the things. Another email I got, my husband of 17 years walked out this week and left the kids and I. So there's a lot of people hurting in this world. We come to church, we look at the person's head in front of us a lot of times. We notice their hair, but that's about it. We don't know what's going on in their life. And so I thought I'd just maybe address that this morning about people we meet every day and what's going on in their life. I didn't tell you the last time I was here about the world's worst waitress I met in Alabama. I knew it was going to be a long lunch when I sat down and she said, "Do you want a menu?" I'd never been to this place before. I said, "No, let me guess what you got." I thought the safest thing would be a BLT. Okay? So she brought it and had her thumb up on it. And when I asked her about it, she said, "I didn't want to drop it again." True story. I'm telling you the truth. And the tomato was missing. It was just a BL at that point. Y'all think I'm kidding. You can't make this stuff up. So I ate what was left of my BL. And I don't care how bad the service is, I'm a Christian. I'm going to leave 20%. I'm a Christian. That's my witness, okay? Now, I left 20%, and on the way out of the restaurant, I was mumbling to myself. Don't look at me like you hadn't done it. Don't sit there like that. I said, "Lord, what's wrong with her?" I did. I said, "Lord, what's wrong with her?" And he said, "I want you to go back and give her $100. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The point I'm trying to make here is a lot of times God will bring you in contact with people, and what God tells you to do could change their life if you just get past yourself long enough. Come on, if you can just get past yourself, okay, thinking about you long enough. I was really upset with the Lord that he didn't sympathize with me. I'm his servant. You see, we got a lot of Christians think they deserve royal treatment just because they're saved. Come on, I know preachers that won't take their own coat off. They've got to have the armor bearer to do it. Give me a break. Get real here. I can't see Jesus having somebody take his robe off. Come on, get real. We're all saved by the blood of Jesus. Come on, we're all born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You ought to just be thankful God saved your sorry soul. Quit acting like you're some almighty. People come to church, they don't want to serve, they want to be served. Come on, don't get me started. Man. I walked back over with that $100 bill and I handed it to her, and tears came streaming from her eyes. She said, "I know I didn't give you the best service. I just wanted to say something, but I didn't." I'm not going to tell you what I wanted to say. She said, "I'm a single parent. We're almost homeless. My tips hadn't been very good." And she said, "I was concerned all day long about getting the money to buy gas to come to work next week." Whew. But it gets real right here. I said, "Well, honey, do you know Jesus?" She said, "No." I said, "You never been to church?" "No, sir, never been to church. Never accepted Jesus?" "Said, no, sir." I said, "We're going to change that right now." I said, "Jesus loves you enough. He sent me back over here to talk to you." I got her by the hand right there in the middle of that restaurant. I led her to Jesus right there in that restaurant. She got born again. I said, "She got born again." Oh, my God, church. I'm talking about reaching out to people that are hurting. I said, "I got a pastor friend here. I'm going to call him. He's going to come by here. You're going to get them two kids in church." She said, "I got to work on Sunday." I said, "I'm going to talk to your boss." I went and talked to her boss. "We're going to get her off, take them kids to church on Sunday." That pastor came, got those kids in church. A few months went by, or a few weeks actually went by. I got a letter, Brother Steve, from her, and she said, "We got in church. My kids love children's church. I love church. Thank you for talking to me." Had a check in it for my ministry. She had sent a check to my ministry. She said, "After I talked to you, my tips went up 300%. She did. She said, "Come on. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of great, successful people. They're just hurting right now. And if we can get them through their hurt and get them healed and get them to Jesus, I was just a drug addict. I was a drunk. Now I'm a preacher. Come on. Hallelujah. Jesus can do things in people's life, but we got to not just get them to church. We got to get them to Jesus. Church is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Come on. Coming to church is not the Jesus. I got Jesus. I got born again. I got delivered. I got set free by the power of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She continues to send a check each month to our ministry. She married the restaurant owner. He loves her kids. Come on. Amen. That restaurant where she used to serve, she now owns half of it. Probably more than that, depending on the attorney. But I'm telling you. God blessed her. Would y'all mind if I don't stand on the platform? I pastored for a few years. And I don't want to even take a chance of that pastoral anointing getting back on me. Because it was the worst years of my life. I've been traveling for 36 years. And my worst day as an evangelist is better than my best day as a pastor. I kept a list of them people in my church I was going to kill if I ever backslid. Oh, hard-headed people. I'm looking around. Some of y'all had smiled all morning. Is your mother-in-law living with y'all or what? What is y'all's problem? Come on. Come on. Were you baptized in pickle juice or what? Come on, everybody smile. If you got one tooth right there in the middle, just smile anyway. Just could we stand for just a moment? I feel the Holy Ghost. Driving up here this morning, I just felt a supernatural anointing for people's needs today. Father, we come into your presence. We thank you for the opportunity and privilege Brother Shane and this church has provided us to preach the gospel one more time. We thank you for watching over us this week and keeping your hand on us, Lord, and at this point in our life, Lord, giving us strength to preach the gospel. Lord, we thank you today. We pray that we may reflect your glory, that we may resemble your word, and we may resound your revelation. Lord, we bind every power of hell in this building, outside this building, in those lives that are watching online. Let this be their day, Lord, for their deliverance and their miracle. Let this be the day of their breakthrough. And Father, for all that you accomplished today through the preaching of your word, we give you glory and we thank you in advance in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord one more good praise before you sit down. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. And if you happen to be watching online today and you're close enough to drive, you ought to get out of bedside assembly and come to church. If something happens in the service that don't happen at home, that's the reason we need to come together. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read an excerpt from the 27th chapter of Acts, verse number 20. And then I'll give you the background of the story, and then we'll talk about it for just a few moments. In the modern language Bible, Acts 27 and 20 says this: "For many days neither sun nor moon appeared, and the storm kept coming." This morning, as we sit in the church, there are people in Mississippi digging out of the rubble that was left behind by a storm. In this particular story, the Apostle Paul and a group of prisoners were being carried to Crete. And 3 days into their journey, they're on a roller coaster ride of irresistible wind, relentless rain, and uncontrollable waves. And the storm kept coming. Say that with me. And the storm kept coming. Now, watch this. They lost control and were no longer able to guide the ship. And the storm kept coming. When a storm comes into your life, sometimes you lose the ability to be in control. How many of you have ever been there where it felt like everything was out of control and it wasn't anything you could do about it and the storm just kept coming? Now, there is teaching today that you won't ever go through a storm. I've lived long enough to prove that is not true. Now, Brother Payne, I'm not in a storm today. Well, get ready. God is preparing you. Get your rain boots and your parka, because it's on the way. And I'll tell you why during this message that you can live in a place where storms don't affect you. And I'll tell you in this message 5 things you must not forget when a storm hits. So I would encourage you to either take notes or get the CD or the flash drive or whatever and make this part of your listening experience, because this is the Apostle Paul we're talking about here. They pulled down the sails and the storm, y'all got to help me preach now, kept coming. They threw out the anchors and the storm kept coming. They fasted and prayed 14 days and the storm kept coming. They had an angelic visitation and the storm kept coming. Some of y'all been asking, God, I go to church every Sunday. I worship the Lord. I tithe. But the storm keeps coming. They cried. They prayed. They gave up hope. They wrapped ropes around the ship trying to hold it together. But instead it broke apart and they ended up on a broken piece of the ship. And the storm kept coming. Why? Because God has to interrupt this trip long enough to get Paul where he wants him. Until, I'm going to say this, you need to hear this. Until you lose control of where you're going, God can't take you where he wants you to be. You understand that? This storm was unstoppable. Can anybody relate to this situation? Oh, only me and you, Catherine. We can only one relate to this. I'm going to preach to you. Can you relate to this situation? Let me just give you a few examples. You're sick, or someone you love is sick, and that storm of sickness keeps raging, and no matter how much you pray, the storm just keeps coming. Your marriage is in trouble. You don't want divorce, but it looks like that's the only solution, and the storm keeps coming. You've prayed, cried, fasted, stood, believed God for your family, but the storm keeps coming. Your kids that used to live for God now live for the devil, and the storm keeps coming. Your motivation in life has been lost because of getting older and not seeing your dreams come true. And the storm keeps coming. You love God, but you keep falling into sin. And the storm keeps coming. You try to stay up, be positive, act happy. But inside you're lonely, depressed, discouraged, disappointed. And you feel like giving up. But the storm just keeps on coming. Noah knew something about storms. How would you like to put up with a wife for 40 days and 40 nights, and it's raining, and she's cleaning up after the animals and asking you when the storm is going to be over? Some of y'all looking down at the ground now like you've been there this week. Come on. Amen. How many of you, you know that regardless of how much you love somebody, your relationship can go through a storm. Noah knew something about a storm. 40 days and 40 nights, he must have wondered, when's it going to stop raining? But the Bible said in Hebrews that Noah, by faith, obeyed God. You see, in the middle of the storm, you just got to know God is in control. You may not be in control, but God's in control. You may not know what you're going to do, but God knows what he's going to do. Some of y'all need to hear this message this morning. Come on. Some of you have been wringing your hands. God, how am I going to change this situation? Listen, we have a God on the throne. He sent me to talk to you this morning. He changed my message just for you so he could tell you, I love you. I know what you're going through, but read in my Bible. It says over and over, it came to pass, and 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 it came to pass. If you read the book of Job, he loses everything. There's 1,160 verses in the book of Job. It's not until the 1,158th verse of Job that the Bible says this: after this, God bless Job. Come on. After this, after all the other, God bless Job. Are you still here? God has not forgotten you. God's not forgotten me. No matter what's going on in the world, God's in control. No matter what it looks like on television, God is in control. No matter what they say the economy is going to do, God is in control. No matter what your job says it's going to do, God is in control. You got to get in faith and believe that God is still in control. I said God is still in control. Hallelujah. Devil really never expected us to make it through COVID. But we came back stronger than ever. Praise God. Jonah knew something about storms. You see, some storms come because you disobey God. You can change that this morning because we got an altar. Is this mic still on? Am I talking to the angels? Do I need to text you? Do you understand speech? Do I need to send you an email? Jonah was in a storm because he disobeyed God and ran from God. How many of you, God's told you something and you didn't want to hear it? Don't look down. I said, how many of you, God said something to you? He's told you something, but you didn't want to hear it. He told you what he wanted you to do, but you didn't want to do it. Anybody besides this preacher? Am I talking to anybody? And you end up in a storm. But isn't it amazing how God had a whale? I had a woman, I was preaching along these lines, a woman said, you really believe that a whale swallowed Jonah? I said, honey, if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. It's the word of God. I saw a bumper sticker said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I thought, that ain't right. That ain't right. God said it, and that settles it, where you believe it or not. God wants you to believe it. God wants you to believe it. God had a whale, even though he was rebellious, God had a whale, because there's a city over here bigger than Cookville. Come on. It's got 200,000 residents in it. They need Jesus, and the whale was headed that direction. Come on. And then threw the preacher over right in the whale's mouth. And 3 days later, the whale delivers him over here to Nineveh. And 200,000 people came to God at Nineveh. Are you still here? You don't know what God wants to do in your life. You don't know when God gets finished and gets you where he wants you to be. What God will do, I never imagined writing songs. I never imagined being on television. I never imagined preaching around the world. I never imagined hundreds and thousands of souls coming to Jesus, but Jesus can do amazing, marvelous, miraculous, supernatural things in your life when he gets you where he wants you to be. I gotta hurry. You folks get me sidetracked here. Hallelujah. I believe there's some people in this room know about storms. I believe Brother Steve knows about storms. I see faith etched in the brow of a lot of people in this room this morning. If you younger folks had time to visit with some of us older folks, we could tell you some stuff. I'm like that insurance commercial. I know some things because I've seen some things. You know, I know what it means to pay your tithe when you can't buy groceries. I lived next door to a Baptist preacher when I got saved. He hated me because I got filled with the Holy Ghost same night I got saved. And his bedroom was right across from my bedroom. And at night, you could hear it sound like this. I'm talking in tongues, and he's just hearing it in his bedroom. When he'd come out the door to get in his car, if I went out at the same time, he would run, turn his head and run and get in the car. Come on. I know about some storms. Why don't he like me? Why don't he like me? You know, we're both saved. We're both on our way to heaven. Why don't he like me? See, that's before I learned. See, I hadn't been in church long. That's before I learned that you got to be a certain thing and have a certain tag before some people will like you. Well, honey, I don't care if you like me or not. I'm Jesus. Praise God. I'm saved by Jesus. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I talk in tongues. I prophesy. I win the lost. I worked at a factory then, and I remember my late wife, Ruby, she told me, if we buy groceries this week, we can't pay our tithe. What should I do? I said, we don't have a choice. See, back when I got saved in a Pentecostal church, they didn't give you options. You gonna miss church? Guess what? They coming out your house. You ain't missing next Sunday. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, we were fanatics back then. The women couldn't wear makeup. 30-year-old woman looked like she's 60. Come on. Couldn't cut their hair. Had to have hair up. You had to look around the hairdo, you know, in church. That's where I come from. And the way we decided how good the service was, how many bobby pins was in the altar from shouting their hair down. Come on. I thank God that we've got delivered of a lot of stuff, but there's some stuff we should have kept. Come on. And so tithing wasn't an option. I said, we don't have a choice. And they said, we got to tithe, we go to hell. I said, I don't want to go to hell. Now, I don't believe you go to hell for not tithing. I just know your finances are go to hell. I want to preach on that, but I got to get back to my story here. And so back then, my wife fixed my lunch, put it in a brown bag, took it to work. Back then, when you bought like ham, sandwich ham, have a picture of ham on top of it. You ever seen that? Well, that day when I opened my lunch at work, had a picture of ham on it. My wife had a sense of humor. That's all we had. How many of you know that's all we had? And I'm thinking, now what are we going to do for dinner? I got to go home. We don't have any groceries. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? That was a storm. But, you know, just about an hour before dinner, there was a knock on my front door. And I went to the front door, and it was that old Baptist boy living next door. Had two bags of groceries in his arms, just like this. Now, nobody knew we were out of groceries. Nobody knew we didn't have anything. I didn't put a billboard out in the yard telling everybody we don't have groceries. God told him, he was preaching a revival out on the mountain. He said, they're giving me more groceries than I can handle. Can you folks use some groceries? I said, well, we'll take them off your hands if you must. And you know something, Rusty? We became dear friends, and I led that old boy to the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and he's baptized with the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. We're still friends to this day. But if I hadn't had that storm, you see. Now, I got to hurry here. Lord Jesus, I'm enjoying preaching so much. Brother Shane, don't you wish he's here? Praise God. Hallelujah. I know he loves to preach. You know, let me just give you five things you must not forget when the storm hits. It's important that you stay steady during the storm. Now, in Matthew chapter 8 and also in Mark 4 and also in Matthew chapter 5, you can write those down and read all those chapters this week in your devotion. In Matthew 7, it tells us that there were two people that built a house. Now, in the book of Matthew, It tells you that it rains on the just and the unjust. I'm always amazed at Christians when we've got storm warnings. They're praying, Lord, let this storm pass our house. But they don't mind it hitting their neighbors. It's just as easy to pray, Lord, keep it in the atmosphere and protect all my neighbors. You know what I'm saying? See, it's back to that self thing. That's how God told me to preach this message. I was in my easy chair Friday night. My wife, Lori, is in Jackson, Tennessee this morning. She trains and shows German shepherds. She had one in Westminster last year. She's big time in this. and she has devotions with the people at the dog shows on Sunday morning and ministers to them. So it's a whole new avenue for us. But I was all alone, had my two dogs by my chair, and I'm just kind of fading off, and all of a sudden the weather radio went off real loud, and it woke me up. And I turned the TV on, and I saw we had storm warnings. You guys here in Cookeville had storm warnings. You know, I used to not take these real serious until I was in Oklahoma. You get a storm warning in Arkansas, Oklahoma, honey, you better pay attention to it. And it's getting that way here. The earth is convulsing right now because it's standing on its tiptoes getting ready for the coming of the Lord. And that's what's going on. It's just convulsing. Romans tells us it's just convulsing with excitement about the Lord coming back and setting up his kingdom here on this earth. But the Bible said here that this foolish man built his house on the sand. Now, if you are built on the sand, you got a reason to worry about storms. You see, when I built the house I live in now, I put a storm shelter in the garage. Brother Payne, you must not believe God. Yeah, I believe God. But the Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. Come on. Amen. And they tell me nobody has ever been killed in one of these storm shelters that I'm in. So that gives me hope. Come on. One hit about a mile from my house with me sitting in my chair asleep. I thought, get to heaven. And the Lord said, you had a storm shelter. Why didn't you get in it? You see, but the Bible said the wise man built his house on the rock. Now, when you're built on the rock, you don't have to worry about storms. They may come. But the Bible said the storm beat on this man's house. But when the storm passed over, the house was still standing. So write this down. The Word of God will outlast any storm that you're in if you just keep standing on the Word of God. Come on. If you've got a financial storm, stand on the Word of God. Tell the devil, I'm a tither. You can't steal from me. The windows of heaven are open over my life. If you're a sower, tell the devil, Luke 6:38 says that God will give back to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I'm going to have good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Just stand by and watch. Brother, it's very important that we speak the Word of God to our storm. Are you hearing me? I said it's very important that you speak the Word of God to your storm. It's very important that you speak the Word of God to your storm. Brother Payne, I just don't believe in talking to things. Yes, you do. You just talk negative to things. This old stupid car. I tell you what, this is the sorriest car. Yeah, you see, it's important that you speak the Word of God. Build your house on the rock. This church here is built on the rock. I know your pastor. He preaches the Word of God. Nobody in this pulpit is going to preach anything other than the Word of God. I know that. Are you glad that you're in a storm shelter this morning? Are you glad you got a pastor building a storm shelter? If hell comes against your marriage, against your kids, against your finances, you're built on the rock. It don't mean storms are not going to come. It just means they're not going to affect you. You're going to stand steady on the Word of God, and the storm's going to pass you by. Every storm, natural and spiritual, eventually runs out of rain. Hallelujah. The sun's going to shine again. Glory to God. I said the sun's going to shine again. You're going to come through this. Oh, I said you're going to come through this. Now, there are people that say, if you were doing what God wants you to do, you wouldn't be in this storm. I ain't always been a Christian. Wouldn't you just like to backhand them until they just, their eyeballs just rattled? If you was doing what God wanted you to do, then you wouldn't be in this mess. Well, the Bible tells us that the disciples, In Matthew 14, Jesus told them to get in the boat and go to the other side. Now, these disciples had just spent time on center stage. They were part of Jesus' entourage. Miracles had been happening. They had to feel good about themselves. Have you ever gone home from church after miracles started happening and you couldn't wait to talk to people? Oh, you should have been there Sunday. My God, you should have seen. A blind eye was open. Oh, a lame person. And here's the disciples, and they're on this boat, and they've left all this behind. And right in the middle of them talking about the meeting, I've been on that sea. Come on. And one translation says it was not just a storm, it was a storm of hurricane proportion. There have been times when I wondered who was taking care of hell, because it seemed like every devil was at the house. They're talking, and the sea's as smooth as glass, and man, they're just talking, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose, and they row and they scream and they pray and they cry, and the storm just keeps on coming. Now, where's Jesus in the midst of this storm? The Bible said he's up on the mountain watching it and praying for them. Where is he in your storm? He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. Oh, come on, church. I said he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. You think you've never been, you think nobody knows what you're going through? Jesus went through everything you're going through. And when he sees you going through it, he's talking to the Father. And he's saying, Joe and Betty are going through this. Lord, now, Father, I pray that you'll send the angels and watch over them. Their kids are going through this. Lord, put the angels around them and watch over. He's interceding for you. He was praying for them. And somebody in this church needs to know today, God has Jesus at the right hand right now praying for you. You're going to be all right. You're going to make it. It's going to turn around. Breakthrough is going to come. Hallelujah. I'm about to get through my introduction here. Man, he's praying for them. The lightning zigzags across a black drop sky. Struts its stuff to the rhythmic beat of thunder. We know about storms, and it just kept coming. It's midnight, and the storm just keeps on coming. You know the strange thing about the Sea of Galilee, and I wonder this every time I'm on it. It's just like a big lake. You can see from one side to the other. All they had to do is quit rowing, and they'd been right back where they started. Am I right? How many of you have been to Israel and you know? Am I right? All they had to do is quit rowing, and we'd been right back to the shore. But they had a word from God. Go to the other side. That's what you and I have to remember. We can turn back. We can give up. We can give in to the storm. Or we can do what God told us to do. Come on. You think it's been easy 47 years out on the road full time? You think it's always been easy, everything we've ever done? You think Brother Shane's had it easy ever since he got saved? You think he's had it easy ever since he built this church? God has done some phenomenal things. I bragged on this church everywhere I've been since the first time I was here, and I'll brag on it again. You know why? This is a great church. This is a church that God's raised up, but it hadn't been easy. I said it hadn't been easy. A storm got your pastor here. I said a storm brought him here. Hallelujah, and he built a church on the rock. You realize what a miracle it is? You guys paid off $600,000 on that property in a year. That is a miracle. Man, I just pray the 400 to be here on Resurrection Sunday, and y'all guys can get on with the business at hand. This is too little. You ain't even room for shouting in this place. Come on. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You sitting beside people you don't even know. Yeah, there's a lot of empty buildings in this town you ought to be in. Don't have nobody. Thank God for this church, and it just keeps on growing. So praise the Lord for that. Don't ever take that for granted. Don't ever Don't ever take your pastor for granted. Brother Shane Warren is one of the greatest pastors in America. He's one of the greatest preachers in America. He could be out doing what I'm doing all over the world. Amen. He could be booked every night somewhere. That's how great an anointed man of God you have here. So always when he gets back, say, you know, brag on everything that happened. But say, man, it just wasn't the same without you. Come on. Hallelujah. Well, they were in this storm for 9 hours. They could have rode back in 30 minutes. Third thing I want you to know is this. Well, did I give you the second thing? You can do exactly what God told you to do and end up in a storm. Remember that. Remember that. You can do exactly what God wants you to do and end up in a storm. I need about 10 minutes. Can I have 10 minutes here to finish this? How many of you give me 10 minutes? 10, 20, 30, 40. Okay, thank you very much. I'm just kidding. Third thing. At your darkest hour, help is on the way. Verse 24 and 25 says they face fear, doubt, anger, self-pity, and panic. But they learned that when hell was breaking loose, heaven was drawing near. Because Jesus was on his way to them, walking on the water. Amen. I said, you see, the waves were dashing over. They were higher than the ship. The fourth thing I want to say to you is this. What's over your head is under his feet, because it said he was walking on the waves. Did you hear what I said? He was walking on the waves. So what's over your head is under his feet. You got that? Number five, let me close with this. There's a purpose in every storm. I said, there's a purpose in every storm. Years ago, I read about a sharecropper by the name of John who lived in southern Alabama. And he was an ex-slave, and he had just got the money to buy his first piece of property and to sow his first corn crop that was going to feed his family for the winter. And they say that John, in the evening when the sun was going down, would walk through the field singing old spirituals and talking to God. And he would sing things like, I'm going to lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside. Things he learned in the cotton field. One day he's out there walking, a storm cloud comes up and lightning begins to flash and thunder begins to roll and wind begins to blow, and it hail, big old hail like baseball, came out of the heavens and beat John's corn crop all the way to the ground. Neighbors, kids, and wife wanted to know how John was going to respond. John got out there just like he always did. When the sun came out, he started walking through that field. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I praise you for the rain. Lord, I praise you. I praise you, Lord. I praise you that you're a need supplier. I praise you, Lord. You see, John was in the storm, but the storm wasn't in John. John was standing on the Word of God. This is a true story. You read it in history. All of a sudden, John saw something shiny back on the backside of his field back there. So he goes back there and he begins to uncover it, and it's a huge stone, big, huge stone. Took several people to lift it onto his wagon. He took it into town, and it was gold. John discovered one of the largest gold mines ever discovered in southern Alabama because of a storm. That storm had a purpose to move the dirt off of the gold.
Wow.
Can't get no help here. You don't know what God's moving. When the storm comes, He's moving things in your life. Come on. He's preparing you for the purpose that He has for you. You know, the last 10 years have been the most productive years of my ministry. I just got a letter yesterday. About 6 years ago, I covenanted with Inspiration Television Network to reach 50,000 souls over the next 10 years. And this year, January and February, I just got the letter yesterday. We've had 1.3 million souls saved already this year. Last year, we had 5.6 million souls saved last year. Come on, I'm talking about purpose. I'm talking about what God can do. December the 11th, 2013, was the darkest day of my life. 4 years prior, I was in Branson, Missouri, preaching. My wife of 43 years at that time was home, and she had been to the doctor for 3 weeks, treating her with a chest cold. I got a call in Branson that they found a large mass in her chest and that I was to come home. Immediately, I closed the meeting, drove all night to get home. An ambulance took her the next morning to the ER where she spent the night, and the next morning, seven doctors stood around her bed and told us she had 2 weeks to live. I know about storms. They said she would never be able to breathe on her own. She'd have to have oxygen the rest of her life. I brought her home. 2 days after I brought her home, I had to make them let her go. They wanted to put her in a rehab center and treat her and make her comfortable for 14 days, but the Holy Spirit told me to bring her home. And I brought her home. We had to put oxygen tubes and everything all through our house. And I lay in bed at night, and that old oxygen machine would just mock me. Shoo, shoo, just mock my faith. And so I prayed one day for 6.5 hours in tongues. That's the last time she ever had any oxygen. God took that mass totally out of her lungs. She lived 4 years more. Did everything she ever wanted to do in life. Was healthy for 4 years. And then, I want you to hear me. Then a doctor, an unbelieving doctor, a doctor full of fear, told her, if you don't have this treatment, you will die. The cancer was on hold for 4 years, but she believed the doctor more than the word of God. She said, James, what should I do? I said, it's your life. I can't make that decision for you. She believed the doctor, had the treatment. 6 weeks later, she went to heaven. It activated the cancer. See, what you have to understand in a storm, that your fear works just like your faith. In reverse. Come on. If you get afraid of what's going to happen in the economy, guess what? You're going under. You're going down. If you stop giving when times get tough, you're going down. If you stop sowing when the devil attacks your finances, you're going down. But if you'll take the word of God and you'll stand upon the word of God and you'll say, if there's a recession, I choose not to participate. I operate according to kingdom principles. I'm a tither. God is going to meet my need. Sickness will come. And you know, you'll have a pain in your body. The devil said, you got this. If you receive it and sign for it, it's yours. You got to stand up on the word of God. Exodus 15:26, that I am the Lord that healeth thee. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you are healed. Come on. Amen. I'm telling you, you got to stand up on the word of God. In the middle of the storm, you got to climb up on top of it and just keep speaking the word of God. 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 Hallelujah. The first week I traveled in evangelism, gas went up to $3.50. I had an old van then. It was like filling up the bottomless pit. And I was going from little church to little church and just getting enough to get to the next church. They'd hand you the offering and say, I wish there's more. I said, I do too. And they say, Brother Steve, you know, they say this is a love offering. I say, a whole lot more love. And they're offering, you know. And I was filling up that gas tank. This is 47 years ago now. I was $1.2 million in debt when I went into an evangelism. Stupid, I know. I'm filling up this tank, and the devil slips up something and says, you know something? Won't be long. Gas is going to be so high, you won't be able to travel. I said, yeah. Just for a minute. I said, yeah. But that van had a ladder on the back of it. And I knew if I was going to do what God wanted me to do, I had to get a hold of the Word of God. I went around, got my briefcase, got my Bible out of it, climbed up that ladder right in the middle of Exxon Station, stood up on top of that van, lifted that Bible up while people were pumping gas. I said, devil, I don't care if it goes to $10 a gallon. God told me to go preach the gospel. Now I'm going to go preach the gospel, and there's not anything you can do about it. And 47 years later, I'm still filling up my tank. I'm still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the devil is still in hell. Come on. And thousands of souls have come out of his hands because I did what God told me to do. You need to stand up on the Word of God. God's looking for a militant church today. One that's not afraid. One that is not backward. One that don't back up or give up. One that stands on the Word of Almighty God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm so sick of weekend warriors prancing around with a styrofoam sword. I'm so sick of make believers, not believers. We serve a mighty God. Act like it. Walk like it. Speak like it. Preach like it. Live like it. The last 35 years, I've operated my ministry and my personal life debt-free. After I climbed up over that van, 12 months later, I paid everybody every dime I owed them, and I've been debt-free from that day. Come on. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Today I just want to close. If you don't know Jesus, you're watching by streaming, you're in this building, it's not time to play church. It's time to get your life right with God. Come on, it's time to come out of your sin, come into salvation, come out of your bondage into liberty and victory. And the power of God's present in this house today to set you free. If you're bound by drugs, you can be free today. If you're bound by alcohol, you can be free today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Before I do anything else, everybody look at me. I don't give secret altar calls. Never have, never will. One day every one of y'all are going to look at Jesus just like you're looking at me. You're going to give an account for how you've lived your life on this earth. If I go today, I can stand before God and say, I've done everything you told me to do. Have you? If not, it's time to say, God, I want to be everything you want me to be. Everybody look at me now. If Jesus came today, are you absolutely 100% sure that you're ready to meet him? If not, you need to be. And I'm going to ask you, and I'm just going to look around the room, and I'm not going to come, and I'm not going to pull you out of your seat, and I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray for you right where you are. I found out in missionary work, just like Brother Steve has, I've had 20,000 answer the altar call, and you can't pray for everybody. God will save you and deliver you right where you are. If you need further prayer, there'll be somebody to pray for you. But I'm going to look right down this aisle. Is there anyone here this morning? Say, Brother Payne, please pray for me. I'm not where I need to be with God, but I want to be. And I don't want to leave this service without you praying for me. Just slip your hand up and back down. Let me see where it is. God bless you, son. God bless you in the middle. Anyone else? Way back in the back. I see you back on the back row. Anyone else in this section? I see your hand, dear. Anyone else before I move on? Anyone else? One right here. Thank you, son. Thank you, son. Anyone else? Raise your hand right now. God bless you, honey. God bless you. God bless you in the middle. I see you, baby. Glory to God. God bless you, honey. What about this section here? Brother Payne, I'm not where I need to be with God, but I want to be. Would you pray for me this morning? Slip your hand up right where you are. God bless you, son. Way back in the back. Anyone else? Raise your hand right now. Come on, slip it up. Okay. We're going to pray in just a moment. How many of you believers will pray with us? I'm going to ask those of you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask the believers to pray this prayer. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Because I prayed this prayer myself 54 years ago. And I prayed this prayer with thousands of people that are born again. I want us to bow our head and I want us to pray. I want to pray out loud. Believers, would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I need forgiveness. So I come to you today. I believe you died, that you were buried, that you rose from the grave, and that right now you can pardon and forgive me, and you can live in my heart by the Holy Spirit from this day forward and cause me to live in victory. So Lord, now I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Now, you listen and let me pray. Father, you heard the prayer. Those who raised their hand and those who should have raised their hand that did not prayed that prayer. Lord, there's ones watching online that prayed that prayer. I pray now, Father, that from this day forward, the passion that you possessed on this earth will possess them. The love that you operated in on this earth will operate in them. And Lord, we give you praise for this day when lives were changed in Cookeville, Tennessee at the Bend. Lord, we thank you today for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, just before Brother Steve comes, I want to pray one more prayer. If you're in this building today and you're going through a storm and you need prayer and you just need help, I don't want to know what the storm is. I don't care. It's not important. If you're hurting, we want to pray for you. We want to join forces with you and set ourselves in agreement with you that God is going to take you through and take you to what he has for you. And your faith is going to remain strong through it all. In the next 30 seconds, I want you to stand if you need prayer right where you are. It may be a physical storm. It may be a financial storm. Don't let your pride keep you in your seat. Don't let the devil tell you you can handle it by yourself. When my wife went to heaven, I had to have people help me. I had to have people surround me. I had to have people pray for me. I couldn't handle that storm by myself. God still had purpose for my life, although it was the darkest time of my life. Anyone in this building today, say, I need help. Get up on your feet right now. Stand up on your feet. We're going to pray for you right where you are. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Believers, would you pray with me right now? There's people standing everywhere. There's probably as many watching right now that are saying, I need prayer as well. Why don't we all just stand now? Why don't we all just stand in the auditorium? Just stand. since I don't know what to pray for as I ought, I'm just going to pray in the Spirit. Would you, believers that are filled with the Spirit, would you just pray with me? Jesus, we do know that you can calm the storm. When you were asleep in the ship and they, Lord, woke you up, you said, peace be still, and the storm stayed. Lord, we ask you this morning, Lord, speak to these lives of the ones that are standing. Some of them been in a storm a long time. I'm asking you, Lord, to speak peace to them right now. Speak calm to them right now, Lord. God, I thank you today as we agree with them. Lord, as they take what they've, Lord, heard today and speak it out of their mouth and stand on the word of God, Lord, they're going to come through this storm and they're going to come into the place and the purpose that you have for them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Why don't we just slip our hand up now and just praise God for what he's doing. He's moving through this audience right now. His Spirit's moving from one side to the other, from front to back. His Spirit is moving. Hallelujah. It's lifting burdens. It's bringing peace. It's bringing calm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tell two or three people right now as Brother Steve comes, I'm standing with you. Tell somebody around you, I'm standing with you. Come on. I'm standing with you. We're in this together. Come on. I'm standing with you, baby. I felt your hurt this morning. I felt your hurt this morning. I'm standing with you, sir. Praise God. I'm standing with you, ma'am. Standing with you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All I can add to that is thank you, Dr. Payne. Thank you for being with us today and giving us such an awesome word. Amen. One quick thing I want to tell you before I dismiss you. I meant to say it when we were doing our offering. We are going to be sending $1,500 today toward Mississippi to help buy some supplies and things for people. We may do more later. We don't know yet, but we have the opportunity to get that in right away. So if any of you want to help in the next few days, you know, just let us know, and we'll be glad to give you any information we have, okay, as we pray for that. Actually, I think I'm going to close. You're talking about a storm. There's a literal storm. I think 26, 27 dead now in Mississippi from the other night. So I'm just going to pray for them as we close, and then you'll be dismissed, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand today under fair skies. But Father, there's brothers and sisters, and mothers and fathers, children in Mississippi today that have weathered a storm. And they've come out of the storm, Father, many of them with great loss. Life, all kinds of things gone. Father, we in this community know what that's like. We've seen it. Today, Father, we ask you to send a special portion of your grace into that area. Father, that they might be comforted in the midst of their pain, that their needs would be met, and that you would speak in the darkness to those who are hurting so bad today. Pour your grace on them, Father, and let us know what we need to do to be your agents of grace at that place. Father, I thank you for all my church family here today, my brothers, my sisters. I ask you to bless them as they go today. Remind them, Father, they're the head and not the tail. They're going over, we're not going under. We will survive. And we will share the love of Jesus everywhere we go, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Get out and enjoy this beautiful day.